So, just going to do a little bit of talking. Last week, we did what? Huh? No, not the book. The assignment. The five things, okay. And you had to pick five things about yourself that you believed without question. After standing up and affirming it, did you become more sure about it even than you were before you stood up and made that affirmation? Yes? See? That's why I do this thing. Then I had you talk about the five things, of those five things, the one thing that you put there that's a positive thing about yourself but that you still struggle with, and you had a chance to speak about that. How many of you feel better even about that now that you've pulled it to the front? See? This is good. Now, then I gave you another charge. Who remembers what that was? The final charge of the day. Separate that's kind of, Hessa. Focus on one thing. How many of you remembered that? Some of you lost that, see? Ah, that means you didn't listen to the message over either. You really want this or not? Then act like you do. I'm not here preaching for my health. I'm preaching for your health. I left you with, pick the one thing that you know. I didn't tell you to write a list of negative things because I didn't want to do that, and I'm not going to do that. I said, but pick the one thing in your life that you really know you need to believe God on, that you feel you fall short in. That's the most important thing to you right now, leaving everything else out. And I'm surprised you remember that, because so many of you came to me and said, wow, that just took a load off me. I just have to focus on one thing. You remember it now, right? Dad, some of you say not even remember it. Okay. I gave a very clear example of when I was in poverty, I went before God about my poverty, and I said everything else that was wrong in my life, I said, God, right now, I just need to focus on just this. And in the process of focusing on that and looking up scripture for that and seeking God about prosperity and coming out of poverty, he began to show me the other things that made poverty real in my life. You know, the lack of humility, you know, the lack of sharing compassion, you know, sowing the seed of favor if I want to reap favor. You know, a lot of people, you know, you can become really self-centered in your prayers. You only look out for yourself. So there's a lot of things God began to show me as I sought prosperity, the things that were barriers to prosperity start to be manifested, and I got free. So I gave you an assignment to pinpoint something, whatever that thing is. How many of you actually did that? One, two. Just two people? Three. So just three people actually went before God and said, God, here's the thing that I feel like I really need to focus on in this season of my life. You did too? Okay. So the homework assignment gets reissued. What is the most pressing thing? I said it could be healing, it could be prosperity, it could be whatever that case may be at that point in your life. It may be, you know, just, I'm not going to try to guess for you what it is. But to get before God with one thing that you feel is the most pressing on your heart. Now, you know, like Lindsay came back and she said, well, I found this good thing, but I also wrote a few negative things. I'm like, okay, well, then you just complicating the situation again, and that's on you. I'm telling you, just to focus on one thing before God. Get before God with that thing that presses you the most and say, like Jacob said, I will not let you pass until this is resolved. I'm going to stay here with you on this thing. And I'm going to tell you why it's important that you do this. How many of you need me to explain to you again why that's so important? Okay. How many of you, and we started this conversation saying, if I told you to write a list of negative things, you could probably write for a day. Right? So I said, if that's true, if you go before God with what's wrong with you and what you need fixed, that list probably is just as big, isn't it? You could be there before God all day telling God all the things that ain't right in your life, correct? That need to be fixed. I'm sure I can pick out quite a few myself. Well, the problem with that is, are you listening? You have an enemy who is an expert at a job. And his expertise is accusation. That went over some of your heads. Satan's job is a prosecutor. The scripture refers to him as the accuser of the brethren. He falsifies information, gets fake witnesses, comes up with false documents, and begins to present the case against you, first to you, to convince you that you're not worthy of the deliverance or the mercy that God has promised and Christ came to die for. How many of you know that to be a fact? You know that to be a fact. Well, if you get before the Lord and start rehearsing your shortcomings, one, is counterproductive to the scripture, because God calls those things that be not as though they were. He don't want to talk about your faults. He already knows what he wants. He paid the price for your faults, so now you need to come out of them. So if you start seeking the Lord about 50 things, you can't stay focused on one. You ever start praying about one thing and crying before the Lord about one thing that's wrong with your life, and before you know it, you done mentioned 50 different things, and you forgot what you initially started praying for? It's a trick. It's a trick. So I'm working on this, yeah. And then he'll say to you, you know, it becomes the chicken and egg syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? What came first, right? Yeah, well, the reason you ain't got prosperity, because maybe there's unforgiveness in your life. Then you start to work on unforgiveness. Well, maybe you got unforgiveness in your life because you don't have love in your heart. And then maybe you don't have love in your heart because you got unforgiveness in your heart. And maybe you got unforgiveness in your heart, that's why you don't have prosperity. And all of a sudden, you all over the place trying to figure out how to be right before God, and you never come to any clear conclusion. A lot of people pray and get up from prayer, and they know better off, or sometimes worse off than when they are when they got down on their face. You're more confused than ever. Just waiting for a good feeling to come over you to make you feel okay so you can get up and feel like you did something. Well, the same thing works across the board. I went before the Father and said, Father, there's too many things wrong with me at that season of my life. But the biggest thing that's wrong with me is I can't support my family. I'm not praying about anything else in this season if it's all right with you, but about how to win in this area. Is that okay with you? He said, God said, yeah. I said, can I have scripture to back that up? And he sent me to the proverb, which says, with all your getting, get wisdom. And with that, get understanding. For wisdom should come to you with left of days, wealth and honor. So he said, don't pray for prosperity. Pray for wisdom. And when wisdom comes, it'll bring health, length of days, that's health, and wealth. So focus on the wisdom. So I went through the book of Proverbs from beginning to end. I read it from forward. Then I read it backwards. Then I read it forward again. And I read it backwards. Then I started looking up all the scriptures that it aligned to. I started having, you know, the reference Bibles. And I started going to see what scriptures that related to in the New Testament. And before you knew it, wisdom began to flow. I began to see things clear. And if you think that that's just a matter of conversation, what do you admire most about me? That's because I sought that. Not because I'm a smart guy and I woke up and I'm just so intelligent. No. Because in my quest to be free from poverty, I was led to wisdom. And I saw that Solomon prayed for wisdom. Not wisdom, watch this, on how to get by and how to pay my bills, but wisdom on how to lead God's people. He got outside of himself. And in the process of praying for the wisdom to help God's people, he became the richest man that ever existed. So I came to the realization, so it's not just seeking wisdom to make my life better, it's me seeking wisdom to help everybody else. Everybody God gives me. At first, I thought it was everybody who comes in my life. Then I had to come to the realization, everybody around you don't need to be around you. There's people specifically God gives to you. And if you are a fool and you're trying to help everybody, a lot of times you neglect the people that need it the most. And I didn't mean to go here, but I do want to say this. There are people in your life that you minister to that are specifically planted by Satan to keep you from paying attention to the people you should be ministering to. Is she sleeping or sit up, please? Thank you. You understand what I'm saying? They have a duty. That's that why that same person that caused you with the same pain and the same problem, and you talk them through and you get off the phone with them, and now you're exhausted because they drained all your spiritual life force out of you, and then they go sit back for a little while like a tick until the blood dries up in them, and then they come jump back on you to suck the life out of you again, and it's still the same problem again and again. Cut them off. If you feeding them and they still not learning, and you talk to them again, every time you talk to them, it's the same situation. They are a plant. They are a double agent. I don't care if they're Christian or not. They planted there to suck the life out of you so that you are useless when it comes to other people. I'm concerned about my assignment and nobody else. That's kind of hard to say. I've had people come and say, I want you to pray for my cousin. I ain't praying for you. Well, who are pastor? Tell her pastor to pray for her. If the Lord don't lead me, I ain't praying. I ain't not. But God, I don't think that's right. Jesus said, Lord, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those who you gave me. Jesus said, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. I try to pray for everybody. I have a keeping y'all together is enough. Look, most of y'all didn't even remember what I said last week. I got enough work praying for y'all. I love you. I'm just messing with you. Listen. So, with that said, find the thing. All you got to do is ask God. In 2 seconds, you will know the thing that's the most pressing on your heart that God been going. You know what it is? And just only that and that alone. Philippians 2:13 is what I added to it. God, not in my own strength, but you work in me both to will and to do your good pleasure. And I begin to say to God, if this don't work now, I ain't going to be mad at myself no more because I gave it to you and you're supposed to work in me to do it. I already accepted that I can't. God will not shrink from that challenge. I promise you that. He'll meet you right there. God likes a challenge. With that all said, You know what you're doing now? Yes. You bear witness with me that when I ask you next week, that'll be done? Yes. Yes? By a show of hands, let me see. You're going to get your list. You're going to write down, go over your five, and then you're going to take one thing that you know that might not be on your positive list that is the biggest hurdle in your spirit right now, and you're going to pinpoint focus in with God on that one thing. And until he tells you to go to something else, if the thoughts are coming, yeah, but it's this, well, maybe that. Nope. Staying right here. I'm focused on being delivered right here. Let me tell you why that's important, too. You know how encouraged you become once you see it in one area? The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? He reflected back on the things that he saw God deliver him through. And because of those things, he was there. That's why he brought up when he went to fight Goliath, the bear, and the lion. Because he could reflect. I was in a situation before. Well, what's the difference between this Philistine and that bear and that lion? He encouraged himself in his past victories. I can't get some people to have the first victory. Or even see it when they get it. With that said, Jericho, can you come, please? And give God a hand of praise for her as she comes. You're recording, right?
Just, there we go. She got her books and everything. You look almost taller than me today. That ain't right. Yeah. Nah. Nah, you cheating. You must have got like 10-inch heels on. Yeah. I asked Jericho to come today and share. And I asked her to come and share because, one, she's been staying here. And in the beginning, it just was, I think she just thought I was out to get her. And I was. I really wanted to see her win. I saw the vision. I saw the dream. I saw the purpose. And I saw that she was at the place that hope deferred was making her heart sick. So And unfortunately for her, she came in my life when my filters, like I said, are not as. So I kind of lit into her heart. But I wanted to see her win, and I didn't. And I was like, well, you living in my house, so you ain't got no choice. You got to take this whipping. That's it. But I watched the maturity. I watched the growth. I watched her insight and revelation. She came here in, when was it? August. And from August to now, I've seen just a transformation in her relationship with God, in her walk, in her understanding of things spiritual. I'm so proud of her, and I want to turn this message over to Jerrica and let her share with you the revelations and the insights that she's received and what God is doing in her life. In Jesus' name.
Hi. How's it going? Good. I'm glad to hear it. Thank you, Pastor, for that wonderful, lovely introduction. I'm forever grateful to you and Minister Angela for allowing me to stay here. I'm in a transition, and I know I'm not the best at expressing my feelings via words, but I'm very grateful to you both, and I love you both very much. And I'm getting better in expressing, but, you know, bear with me, you know, that ain't my love language, all right? You know, I got you, if you need some help, I can help you, you know? But, so God has done a wonderful thing for me. Let's pray first, okay, if you don't mind, all right? Father, thank you for waking us up this morning and breathing life into us, oh God. Thank you for bringing us together one more time, one more day, because we didn't have to be here, but you gave us another chance. So, Heavenly Father, God, I ask that you bless our families and our friends and all of your people today at the word is being delivered, and that grant us wisdom and understanding of today, of the message and everything that we've learned thus far. Lord, work with me, speak through me, use me and help me to be articulate the things that are in my heart so that your people can understand. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I was up. It started Thursday. I was talking to Pastor, and we were just talking about everything. And then he said, that's it. You're going on Sunday. And I'm like, for what? Like, he's like, you're going to be talking on Sunday, like, it's your notes together. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, afterwards give a little testimony. That's what, you know, that's fine. He's like, no. And he was like, no. I was like, the full message? Like, what? What you talking about? Like, you crazy. Like, hold up. That ain't my jurisdiction right there. I like to sit in my little corner and have a good old time out over there, you know? And so I called my mother, and I was like, Ma, Pastor told me I was going to be speaking on Sunday. She was like, what? I'm like, yeah. And I don't think he's joking either. I think he's really for real. So I'm like, what am I going to say to God's people? But what came to me, God said, the message for me, let it go. Let it go, you know? And for me, that's hard. And I'm sure for some of you all, that may be as well. Because we like to hold on to things, right? And stand on it. And if it's wrong, right, or whatever, we're going to stand on that. Our conviction, our beliefs. And the Lord has been dealing with me because I'm in a place of rest right now. Not my strongest feet. I'm a go person. I go. I move. I make moves. That's what I do. I don't know how to just sit here and just be still. And so it's been a process for me in learning how to be still. And being still doesn't mean that there's inaction. There's action going on. You're resting. You know what I mean? And I believe it was back in July when Pastor did a message. Trying to think about where it was. Yes, the power of trust, and where we learn about committing Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord and all your plans will succeed, right? And we learn the definition of committing. If you don't know that or you wasn't here for that, you could definitely go on YouTube or the podcast, and it's The Power of Trust. And I believe the dates were the end of July, July 27th. And you can go back and reference that for yourself, and I recommend it. But he talked about after seeking the Lord, getting the instruction, committing to it, and after you do that, after you've done what you were supposed to do, now it's time to rest. And in the resting, that's where your faith kicks in. Because now you've done all that you were supposed to do that was required of you, and now it's God's time to just take over. And a lot of times we don't allow God to just take over, because I know for me, and I speak from my perspective, is when I don't see the results immediately, I'm like, we still got work to do. We still have to keep moving. And God has said, no, you've done all that you're supposed to do. And I was talking to Esther last week about it. Part of my struggle in resting is because I wasn't okay with what God told me was enough. You know what I'm saying? Whether I see the results move immediately or not, that is final. If he said all you need to do is find, for those you don't know, I am a model, you just find 3 casting directors. New York Fashion Week just passed or whatever, but if he just told me to find 3 different casting directors, go on this, Google it, and find the first 3, and that's it, and then you rest, that's it. That is enough. And that's final. And you have to, I had to learn how to be content with that. That it is okay. Like, I'm done. You know? But, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to reach my goal. It doesn't mean that you're not going to reach your goal. It just means your part is up. But we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to let it go. We don't have to, but God, well, I haven't seen it. I didn't walk in New York Fashion Week. I didn't get it. He said, that's okay. It's going to happen, but you just got to trust me. This is where the trusting part comes in, which we don't do all the time. Trusting is faith. Resting is faith. When you really think about it, it is, you know, because you're having faith. You're being still and not moving and said, okay, I got here. This was the part. There was my end of the river right here. It was right here. And so now God's going to do the rest. So I'm saying, now, God, I'm trusting that what you told me was enough. That's all I had to do. And I'm going to still get my goal. I'm still going to walk in New York Fashion Week no matter what. Even I've done what I'm supposed to do. And that's what we have to do as people. We have to get to that place and say, okay, God, that was enough. You told me that was enough. And be content with that, and that we will be successful. We will get, you know, reach our dreams and our visions. It will come to pass. And he said it will come to pass on by his doing, not by our works. And sometimes we get so caught up in our works. You know what I mean? It's by faith, right? Faith. And it's something, and I have to, God brought me the scripture, and I have to go to it. It's in Galatians. And it hit me last night when I was reading it, and it made perfect sense. Here we go. If you want to turn to me, Galatians chapter 3, we'll start at verse 1. Let me know when you guys get there, because I don't want to go too fast. So Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1. Okay, got it? It says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? So what does that say right there? God didn't do it because you observed the law. You know, we're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes, and we're not going to keep it. But he says right here, it's because you believe. I once heard pastors say before, faith is the currency. You know, faith is the currency. So if we're trying to get to point A, right, we have to trust and believe God to get there. So that's where our faith is, right? So it's faith. Yes, we do have to have action. We do have participation. We have to be involved. But it's not by our particular works that's going to make it come to pass. Because it's God who will do that. It's his strength. It's his ability. He will us, but it's his power. Everything's by his power. It's not by our strength, by our works, by our minds. It's not by that. And that's something that we have to understand and get into our heads and believe it into our hearts, you know? And so what one thing for me, what I've learned that there's been since I've been here since August, you know, I lived here before. I first moved to New York back in 2011. And I went back home in 2015 because things weren't working out. It was just, I was on a path of total self-destruction. So I went back home, and I just got back here last March. And I was very resistant in coming back here because I knew what I went through before. And I would say, God, I'm not doing that again. I'm not coming back here to repeat that, the suffering, the life cycle, the panic attacks, the anxieties. I'm not doing that in my pursuit of the modeling. I'm not going to do that. And so when I got back here, you know, when Pastor and Minister Angela allowed me to stay here, they walked me through a process, you know, personally, and even every Sunday getting the message. And I've learned that there is, yes, I want to get to the modeling and the music and all of that, but there's a process that to get to that life that's full of milk and honey, the good of the land. It's a process and all of that. But I had to ask myself, what am I willing to give up to get that? What are we willing to give up to get there? And so, like what he said, I mean, you narrowed it before I got up here. You was like, oh, man, I got a great entrance now, because it's like you talked about when you went from poverty, you know, to prosperity. What you had to do, you sought God, but you had to give up your old mindset. You had to give up the stuff that was in your heart. And if that's the thing, what I learned, yeah, we want the manifestation of things, but we have so much in our hearts that God deals with, that he wants to deal with. And we can't get to that promised land. We can't get to all of that with all of that junk in our hearts. So I ask you, what are you willing to give up to get what you want? What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to go through the process and not avoid it? Yeah, it's been hard. It's been a lot of crying. Like, I've cried to my mom, my best friend, you know, like, God, what the heck is going on here? Like, you know, because I don't, you know, don't know. This stuff is not taught in school. This one needs to be taught, to be honest, really. You know, this, and along with adulting 101, you know. But it's just this process of the heart. It started with the heart. Before I could even attain or the manifestation of my dream, I had to walk through this place of getting all this crap, this bondage, the slavery, you know, self-imposed. You know, and we're gonna talk about that, because a lot of, like you said, a lot of the stuff, you know, as he referenced his friend on the phone, is self-imposed. And one of the main things I've learned since I've been here is accountability. Holding myself accountable for where I am, the things that I've done. Not putting it on the enemy, not putting it on my mom or my family. Well, this didn't happen. My mom didn't do this. My dad didn't do this, you know, whatever. But holding myself accountable. And that was the things that God dealt with me with my heart. And one of the main things for me was pride. I was very, very prideful. I didn't realize it. I didn't know. That's one thing for me. And from, it didn't feel too good. It didn't feel too good going, walking through the process. And in this process, I learned who God was. not from the religion way, but the freedom way. And by religion, I came up with three things last night. It made sense to me. And Pastor, you can correct me if it's wrong or whatever. But there's, if religion gets to you first, there's a process in the slavery and the bondage, the transition, and then the total freedom. Most people are over here. We, and majority over here, I'm pretty sure over on this side, over here, or right here on the edge. But the kick is not to abort the process. Not to abort. And it goes back to the story of Joshua and the Israelites getting to the promised land. They walked around the freaking thing for like 40 years. I'm about to be 30 this year. I don't have 40 years to be doing this. We're not going to live to 180. We stop around like 80, 75 and all of that, roughly, you know, 90. But we don't have that kind of time to be walking around here 40 years going because we won't go through the process. We won't allow God to deal with the things in our hearts so then we could get to the things that we want, that he put in our hearts. Like, Mr. James, he gave you the desires to be a phenomenal actor, like have a comedian. Like, he gave you all of that stuff. He gave you the gift to run a show. I saw you firsthand. I said, look at Miss Rhonda running the show a couple of weeks ago for the fashion show. Like, he gave you the gift of singing and the things you want to do with the voiceover. He gave you that. But guess what? You can't get there unless you walk through the process and not avoid it. You know what I mean? And that's the thing about it. And I'm so proud of myself because I made it through the process. I'm over here now. I'm here in this freedom. It was long. It was hard because I had to get rid of everything that I learned from birth. Everything that I had to learn. You know, all of those religious cliches and all of that stuff. You know what I mean? You got to go through something to get somewhere. You got to earn your stripe. But guess what? We ain't got to earn them stripes. The stripes are already given to us. Why? By who? Who? Tell me. Exactly. So why are we sitting here trying to earn it? It was already given to us. But that's what the world taught us. We have to earn. We got to go through this. We got to, you know, do all these free shows in order to get to point A to point B. And we teach ourselves that, and we teach our little ones that. So my job and my hope is here as a congregation, as we raise the little ones, that we just raise them over here in this freedom. So they don't even have to even, like, go from slavery and bondage, so they got to go through this whole yucky, sucky transition just to get over here to the freedom. Life is supposed to be over here, but here's the thing with the freedom. I said, help me, Lord. You got to let it go. You got to let go of those past disappointments. You got to let it go. But it's a decision that you have to make. But you can't get that decision without walking through the process with God and your relationship with him. No, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. You know what I mean? But you have to get an experience of your own. And what I learned is you have to stick it out. Until you form a belief, until you form a conclusion. Because really it's a test of your faith and it's a test of his character. You're going to find out who he is and you're going to find out what he's not. Come on. Which we thought was and over here in the slavery and the bondage. You know what I mean? And in finding that and walking out the process, walking it out here in this transitioning, like, it doesn't feel good. It hurts. For me, I lost myself. You know, I neglected myself because I was so hungry to get over here. I said, I would do whatever it takes to get to this freedom because I know the old way when I was here before is suffering and, you know, just neglecting myself and, you know, depriving myself of just simple life pleasure. You know what I mean? Like, the other day, like before, like I would want a snack and go to the store and say, no, I'm on a budget. I can't do that. Like, no, you know, I'm not sure if God will bless me with extra money for me to get this snack. It's only $2, but this is what I was doing because I didn't believe that he could do that. This is real talk. This is real life. Like, the snack was $2, but I'm like, no. And I would sit in the store and I would just stand and battle. Should I get it? Should I not get it? Should I get it? Should I not get it? Like, that's what would go on because I'm battling with myself and letting go of the old ways that I have to suffer, that I have to suck, be in this low place of life or whatever, and I have to go through these things before God bless me or whatever. You know, all of that junk, you know? But then I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision. You hear me? A decision for myself that I can pass and share with my family and my friends. That God doesn't want me to suffer. I'm valuable to him. You know? I'm valuable. And I say that because I'm no better than the next. You know that. You know God. You're valuable. You're valuable. You're valuable. You're valuable. You're valuable. You are valuable. You matter. You matter. And I had to, and along the way, I had to ask God, and I had to ask him for forgiveness for myself, that I neglected myself, that I didn't see my own value, that I even mattered to him enough, that he wants me whole. He wants me happy. I didn't know God wants me happy. I've been living a life of survival for a long time. How many out here can say that you've been living a life of surviving, not living? There's a difference between surviving and living. And up until this point, you want survival. You want survival. You know what I'm saying? And it's not always a great place to be. God gives you grace and mercy along the way, but it's not always, it doesn't, that's not how it's supposed to be. I can tell you that it's not. And don't let anybody tell you that's it, you know, we're just here to be on earth to survive. Forget it, they're a lie. And you can tell them I said it. You know? But there's a way to live that's flowing with milk and honey. You know, it's a life of peace. You know, following the Spirit. Living. You may not understand it, but that peace will surpass all of that understanding when you get over here to this freedom. But in order to get here, over here, you got to be able to let go. But you can't let go without an experience with God and a firm belief in who he is. But you don't get that until you stick it out. You have to stick it out. I had to stick it out and find out whether God's going to provide for me or not. You know what I mean? I had to stick it out. I had nothing else to lose. I know what didn't work before. So I got to give it all I got. And that's what you got to do. That's the good fight of faith. That's the fight that you fight. Because once you get over here, I don't know what it's going to be like because I just got here. So I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn how to live. And I'm learning all the way. And that's why I'm quiet. I'm very still because it's new to me. I'm so used to fighting. Like, That's what I do, you know? But then God said, put down the sword. Put down your fighting ways. You don't have to fight no more. You're done. Amen. You're done. But I know who he is. I know that he's a provider. I know that he's caring because he didn't allow my vision of success to happen with me full of crap. So why would he do that to you? Why would he give you millions of trades, put you on the runway in Vogue magazine, all of that stuff, and you're still full of that stuff? You're still trying to take it. And he said, no, baby girl. I want you to stay right here. I need this to come out first before you can come over here and taste it, because otherwise you're going to bring it over here and you're going to still be thinking in that old way. You know what I'm saying? You got to let go of the disappointment. Let go of what didn't happen. You got to let go of what happened as a kid. You got to let go of the lack mentality. You have to let go. And at some point, you just got to make a decision and say, I'm all in. And when you can sit there and you stand on that, I'm all in, and see it to the end, no matter if it takes me to the day I die, if I die tomorrow, I can sit here and say, I stood before the Lord, and I stood and I fought that faith. I fought for my life. I did it with my entire life, all that I had. And that's the mentality that you have to have with all of your life. You're going to fight to the end so I can get the goodness of the Lord, so I can see it, so I can taste it, so I can just have it in my arms, that I can have that peace, I can have that freedom, and I will have it. You make up your mind that you will have it. And you say today right now, I will have that freedom. And if freedom is mine. You know? And you say it every day till you believe it. Amen. You know? There's slavery and bondage. There's a transition. There's tools. He's taught us the tools how to transition. You seek the Lord. There's provision and trust in him, and you trust him with that. And you, when you get the instructions, you commit and surrender, and then you give it back to him. Whether you see it immediately or not, you give it back to him, and you watch him do it. Amen. You know? That's hard. It's a challenge. And right now, I'm like, all right, God. All right. But I'm here, though. Amen. I'm here. Amen. So you're going to watch me walk into that freedom. Amen. So that's all I got for you. So, yeah.